Produced by women about women, Powerful Women Let's Talk is a series of interviews with women who are trailblazers and have helped shape our world, transforming who we are and how we live. Powerful Women Let's Talk is made possible in part by Family Fair, keeping it real.
Hello, everyone, and welcome. Welcome to another edition of Powerful Women Let's Talk. We certainly want to thank you for tuning in today. And today's powerful woman is Starla McDermott. Starla is the Development Director for Guiding Light right here in Grand Rapids. And so, everyone, I'm happy to welcome Starla to today's edition of Powerful Women Let's Talk. Hi, Starla.
Hi. Thank you so much for inviting me.
We are happy to have you here and join us today. So we're going to get right to it. We've got a lot of ground to cover here. So I'm looking at your bio and reading. Today, right now, you are the Development Director of
Correct.
Guiding Light here in Grand Rapids, the mission, which we know is a blessing and a great resource for so many going through a difficult patch in their life. You all work tirelessly to basically carve out a program that creates employment, independence, and sustainable living for men in the Grand Rapids area. And we want to give a hats off to you guys for all the work that you do. However, ending up at Guiding Light wasn't really initially part of your journey, was it?
So no, it was not.
Tell us a bit about your beginnings. I read also that initially you were strong in corporate sales and marketing. However, life threw a few curves and with a difficult divorce, and you were even homeless at one point. So kind of fill us in on that journey to get where you are today.
Okay. Well, I lived in Indiana. I'm originally from California, but when I got married, we lived in several different states, and we did end up in Indiana. And shortly after that, I had two kids and was pregnant and went through a divorce. Looking back, it was a very unhealthy divorce, but I stayed in it for a long time because I thought that's what I was supposed to do and for my kids.
Mm-hmm.
And finally got my first actual paying job, and it only making $28,000 a year, but that was enough
for... With three kids.
Well, yeah. A newborn was on the way.
Yeah.
And that finally having my own little bit of income was when I finally said, I don't want to be in this marriage anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I was married to a very kind of somewhat powerful political family, mm-hmm. and it was difficult to... There was a lot of court and him trying to take the kids away. And I had a good job, but it's expensive as a single woman. And when I had to move out, I moved in with a friend first, and then I had to move out of there very quickly. And I had nowhere to go. And I had a car, I had a job, and I had childcare. But I did not have money to move into anywhere.
And people would think if you've got a job...
Right.
And you've got a vehicle.
Yep.
You can get to work.
My kids were going to daycare.
And your kids.
And going to school.
Yep. You would think that you would have enough money for a place to live, but it doesn't always stretch out that way, does it?
No, it takes a little bit of time when things happen so quickly like mm-hmm. that. It takes time to save up the money and to get, you know, first and last rent and get into a small place. And so I camped for an entire summer. First, I was kind of sleeping secretly behind a church mm-hmm. when my two older were with their dad. The newborn and I would sleep in the parking lot.
Did he have a clue?
No. Oh, no. I would never let him know because he would have taken them away. That was why I did not tell a soul, because I was afraid that he would take my kids away. So my kids thought we were having a fun summer camping in the dunes.
Like, wow, Mom, this is fun. This
right,
is great.
Going
can we
to
do
the beach
again next summer.
Yep,
yeah.
Yep. And
but not so.
No, we were homeless and we were just camping in a campground.
And again, you were able to maintain your job and
yep.
move forward
yep.
From there. So you really know how some of the men who walk through the doors at Guiding Light feel then. Does that make it easier to help them?
Yes. Yeah. You know, I didn't even share my story when I first started working at Guiding Light. I had the empathy, but it actually took a conversation with one of the gentlemen one time. He asked some questions, really concerned that did we really care about the homeless? Do we really understand what they're going through? And I could tell he needed me to sit down, not to stand up and listen, you know, while he's talking. And I sat down at the table and had a very long conversation with him. And finally, that was my first time actually physically telling that story. And I think he was caught off guard.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very empowering for me to actually verbalize my situation. And it had been a good 15 years after I had been homeless. But verbalizing that really was an eye-opening for me.
Mm-hmm.
I had the empathy, but able to share that story with him really opened his eyes and also opened my heart and my eyes.
Your heart and your eyes at the same time. And so let's go back to where you were. So you camped that summer. Then what happened after that?
I was finally able to get into a small apartment, and I lived there. I stayed in Indiana for quite some time after that. Then my job, I was in marketing and sales for a company and covered all of Indiana, Ohio, and Michigan. Mm-hmm. And so eventually they just, in 2016, I did get transferred here to Grand Rapids, and okay. Absolutely love it here.
You love it.
It is my favorite city ever.
You found your space, your home.
I did. This is where I'm supposed to be, correct.
Now, your bio says, too, that you applied 3 times before getting the job at Guiding Light, but you kept pressing forward. Was it important that you worked there?
I felt that there was. I liked what they were doing. I had done a lot of research. In 2010, I was done with travel and corporate, and I really wanted to get into nonprofit. And I went back to school, took some classes, and I did a couple of small stints at other nonprofits. But I kept seeing, I think it was in 2014 or 2015, that Guiding Light kept posting for just a development coordinator. Mm-hmm. But it was doing the things that I enjoy doing. It's like e-blasts and marketing and things like that I'm really good at in my corporate job. And it just, I never even got called for an interview. And,
really?
You know, part of me thought, well, maybe it's my age. You know, they can mm-hmm. kind of guesstimate what that is. But whoever they were hiring each time never made it past their 90 days. And so thankfully, the 3rd time I did get a call and went through like 3 or 4 interviews.
Wow.
So they were being careful.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, they had already. But those,
right.
That was a blessing for you in the end there.
Exactly.
Around, let's
exactly.
say that 3rd time. So you press forward, you work there. As we talk about powerful women, and you know, you look at all that you've been through, because you've got quite a story, and I know we could sit here for a much longer period of time,
right,
and
yep.
really get into the depth of a lot of things that you went through and what happened. But as you look as back at what you've been through, and then whether in sales and marketing or now at Guiding Light, have there been any barriers that you perhaps have encountered as your career continued to move upward and onward in this realm? I mean, you move from one segment to another. I know that you said you kept your homeless situation a secret again. Everyone needs help, though, and at some
right.
point in their life. So what kind of barriers or struggles did you face, in addition to the obvious that we've,
right.
we've talked about? But what are some of those things?
Well, I think probably one of the most significant eye-openers that were barriers, once I did get into the nonprofit sector, one of my first jobs was with an organization, and it was actually pay. I actually was getting paid less by mm-hmm. somebody who was essentially my assistant, a young man was right out of college, got hired making more money than me. And after I'd been with the company
wow.
for a year and had a raise. And
you still weren't at the equal pay.
I was not. He was right out of college, was paid more than me. And it was very upsetting, mm-hmm. a lot of crying, unfair anger. But finally, there was something inside of me, because I've always also not like to cause problems.
Mm-hmm. Not confrontational.
I was not good
mm-hmm.
at that. But it was eating inside of me. And I finally had to confront my boss about it. And I did get a raise, and but essentially was let go about 6 months later. Because
okay, so.
I was angry, and they knew it. And I think they just thought it would be safer to get me out of there. And yeah. I'm sure I didn't handle it well either, because mm-hmm. that was my first time blatantly seeing really... It was
yeah.
very blatant mm-hmm. and you hear about it, but that was when it actually affected me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very good at my job. I take what I do very personally, and I know I'm good at it. And to see that happen, someone out of college, was devastating to me.
And you know, when you know that you're good at what you do and you know that you're doing a good job for them, and then to be basically insulted by, okay, here's a kid right out of college. I've been doing this. I've proven myself. You know that I'm, but because of this stigma, because of this thing where men are generally and typically still
right.
Paid more than women, it's a hard pill for anyone to swallow. And women have to continue to endure this, and which is why we want to talk about powerful women. Let's
right.
talk. Let's talk about
right.
those things. So how did you get over that and you
right.
know and move forward? Yes, you left, but then it left you stronger. I would imagine
oh,
at
absolutely.
Some point. Yeah,
absolutely. And it was a reality. It was something that just opened my eyes of things. And of course, that's when the Lean In, you know, movement started coming in. And I'm like, oh, I get it now. So
mm-hmm.
I need to start representing myself better. So going forward, I did, you know, as I got other, you know, nonprofit jobs. And of course, I did that with, you know, Guiding Light as well.
Mm-hmm.
And Yeah, that was definitely a big learning curve, and also probably the very first time that I used my voice.
And that was my second question.
That was probably the very first time.
How did you find that voice? And so it's like, you know, many women deal with this, a lot do. And so we continue to make positive strides. But like you said, too, you make the stride, you get the job, but you're still being paid less than others. So and you did speak out. So what is it that happened along the way to make you more comfortable in your own skin? Like you said, you don't like confrontation. That's right. Not up your alley. That's not part of your persona, your right. your character.
It used
basically.
To not be. But, I'm much better.
I saw the eyebrow raise. Yeah. I'd be like, wait a minute. Yeah. Wait a minute. Yeah, it is
much
now.
Better, yes.
It is now. So how did you get to that, to really have that voice and that comfort zone where I'm going to let this be known?
Probably a couple of things. I think anger was one of them. I did have a friend who did also say, you know, it's okay to use your voice, that you can represent yourself. I used to use the word stand up for myself. And she says, no, it's representing yourself. So more and more that I kept telling myself that I need to represent myself, I think that was strengthening that word or that voice. I think the other two is I love reading, and I read. And I just, mm-hmm. Lately it's all just about other women. And I'm finding more of my voice from reading those stories. Mm-hmm. And Maya Angelou, I mean, Oprah, I mean, Shonda. I've been reading Shonda a lot lately, and I just love mm-hmm. her because of that. Yes, I can use my voice.
And they're inspiring.
Yes, exactly.
And it makes you think, okay, if I'm in this situation, what can I do? What can I pull from this to utilize that as I move forward, onward, upward? So when you looked at the barriers, now what about... You found your voice, and now as the Guiding Light director of development, I'm sure you know that, or you figured you can't do it all alone. What leadership traits then do you like to instill in others, or do you like to see? Because I'm sure there are those who are following in your footsteps and coming up behind you, perhaps in those you mentor or those that you work with. What are some of the leadership qualities that you find are important?
I think listening is one. I think the other... And I don't know if I want to say this is leadership. I think I do this with any relationship now, is that because I have finally been able to let go of those shame, that shame of things that actually weren't even bad things, mm-hmm. but I thought that they were.
And that's part of the problem, how we perceive things, we hold on to it.
Right.
When it really isn't that
it
at
wasn't.
All.
No. Yes, exactly. But sharing, being honest and sharing that, those stories, or, you know, when someone messes up, I don't want them to think that they're the only person that's ever done that, that's mm-hmm. made a mistake or is in a certain circumstance that they think that it's because of they're bad or they've done something wrong. I think we as women need to share our past and share our experiences, even if they are bad or negative or sad or scary, because then they can see who I am today and that I was able to overcome that. And I've had a lot of lady friends, and I don't think a lot of them share. And so I didn't realize how, you know, what made them so great was those experiences. Mm-hmm. And I think that we need to start sharing those experiences with other people so that they can see, oh, my goodness, I did that too. And it's not bad. And I'm going to be okay. And that we can empower them to be okay. But I think we need to share our stories.
Absolutely.
I really do. And I guess I don't treat, with leadership, I don't treat people as if I'm their boss. We are partners. We are in this together. We're a team. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not your boss, and you don't have to be afraid of me. You have to respect me, but you don't have to be afraid of me.
Absolutely. That's a good word there. So a lot of people would like to know probably how you do it all. How do you balance your work life with your personal and family life? I know you have three kids when you were in Indiana. I know it was hard
they're
to balance
all grown.
Anything.
Yeah,
so they're now
grown.
They're all grown.
Yeah, 21's the youngest. Yep.
Okay, wonderful. So do you still have to balance things in your life to kind of do your work, a little
yes.
fun, a little play, but family life as yep. well, family time, I should say, even with grown children? I don't know if they're in West Michigan, but still, how do you...
You know, it's actually
balance.
It's harder even now because of the pandemic. I'm working it from home, so it's trying to keep that all separate from doing it at home. Writing is very important to me, so I have really kind of forced myself to get up super early so that I have my time to write before I do anything else.
Writing a book?
I I'm not there yet. That mm-hmm. is something that...
putting it all down and
yes,
getting it together.
That is, ever since I was 13, that is something that I have always known that I would
Wonderful.
Do. It's just writing right now. And that keeps me from depression. And so I really, since the pandemic, I mean, it was kind of easy to keep things separate because I go to work, I do my work, and then I come home. Now it's all in my home. So mm-hmm. I spend time early in the morning just with me and writing.
Do you journal or do you write? Are you writing a story?
It's journaling. Sometimes it's writing stories, kind of preparing. But really, it's just sometimes it's just freehand, whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, it'll go all over the place.
Mm-hmm. And that's okay.
Yeah. That's what good. Kind of focuses me during the day, you know, for the beginning of the day. And if there's things that are stressing me out, if there's appointments that are coming up, if there's a deadline, even if there is a staff issue that I know I have to work out, you know, that I have to confront and talk through, I'll sit there and just write about it. Mm-hmm. And I do that for about an hour with my coffee. And then I work for about 5 hours. And then I take a nice long, about 4 or 5 mile walk with my dog. And then I do a couple more hours of work. And then it's kind of my time. My son, still my youngest, lives with me. Mm-hmm. And we'll cook dinner or what have you.
So you can balance it out that way.
Yeah. And you know, I live a little bit more simpler now than I have in a long time, mm-hmm. and it's very peaceful mm-hmm. From the hecticness that I've had for a long time. It's very nice to have a very simple routine.
Nice and calm.
It is, yes.
Very calm, relaxing. Yes. And so when I say relaxing, what are some of the things you do to have fun with your family and friends? One child at home still, I know that feeling as well. And so what do you do?
You know, I love the outdoors. That's one of my most favorite things. Camping, kayaking, hiking. I love travel. Mm-hmm. My middle son graduated from law school last May, and we were supposed to go to Ireland, but the pandemic did a little kick on that.
We all have those trips, don't we?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So we did Sedona for a week instead.
Good for you.
And that's one of my favorite places. I rented a house. We went by car, so we didn't have to fly, and took my family and my dog and a girlfriend and her son went. And we hiked all the vortexes and
Wonderful.
Made dinner together. And really, it was probably one of the best vacations we have had in a very, very, very long time.
What a nice, relaxing. And you drove.
We
as
did.
Well,
yeah.
Which,
yep.
I mean, obviously with the pandemic makes
right,
it a lot
it's
better.
A lot safer, you mm-hmm. know, and then an Airbnb and yep.
So you just had a family. When you did that, you had that family fun as relaxing as it's been in a long time. They say laughter is good for the soul. What makes you laugh?
Funny shows. Mm-hmm. I always like to watch funny shows. I always, when I need a good laugh, I will watch reruns of Friends.
Always good, right?
Yeah.
You can always find one.
You know, I laugh a lot with my friends. During Shelter in Place, we did a lot of regular Zoom, and I've got some fun girlfriends, and we kind of goof off. We'll dance. We'll talk on the phone. Girlfriends, dinner with girlfriends, mm-hmm. Laughing with girlfriends, that has been really important and really great. And through the summer, camping with them, hiking, kayaking.
Mm-hmm. You like those things anyway, but a lot of those things are good things that you can do during at least parts of the pandemic.
Yep, absolutely.
You know, some of them you can still do,
yep, you
especially
can be
with
outside.
The distance, you can
yep.
be outside. And yep. so that just makes for a good time. So with all that we have going on in the world today, do you have any favorite sayings or mottos that encourage you or perhaps you could share with others that might, you know, ground someone in something that they're just unsure of? Or
I don't know if I have a favorite. I mean,
or theme, it can be any.
You know, the word yes. Yes, that I can use my voice. Yes, that I can share my story. Yes, that I don't feel guilt anymore.
Yes,
that is, mm-hmm. I mean, that really had a negative effect on me for many, many years. That I, you know, that I can actually know that I am good at what I do. I love what I do. And I think that's why I'm successful at what I do. And I don't know if I have a slogan, but I do know that I am here to share my story to empower others. I know that deep in my soul that me sharing and telling anybody that they can let go of guilt and have a voice and have confidence.
Confidence is huge.
Right.
Confidence
I did not have it. I was scared to death all the time. It feels like it's just the last 2 years.
But you're blessed to have it now. You found that voice. You found your voice and you're sharing with others. And Starla, I can't tell you how much we appreciate you sharing that and an extraordinary story. So we want to thank you, one of our powerful women right here in West Michigan. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
And of course, we also want to thank all of our listeners as well for joining us for this edition of Powerful Women Let's Talk. I'm Jennifer Moss.
Produced by women, about women. These powerful podcasts focus on powerful women and how their strength transforms who we are and how we live. Want to hear more Powerful Women Let's Talk? Get additional interviews at wgvu.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Please rate and subscribe. Powerful Women Let's Talk is made possible in part by Family Fair, keeping it real. It is produced by WGVU at the Meyer Public Broadcast Center at Grand Valley State University. The views and opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of WGVU, its underwriters, or Grand Valley State University.